Welcome everyone to our coaching, or excuse me, to our live session here for session 3, time management, organization, flow, all the rich, good, juicy stuff. Yes, definitely some coaching, but not our live Q&A. We are headed into week number 3 of our series. This one, this particular session is likely going to be the session you review the very most in your entire course. It tends to be that way with our past groups. We're in group 33 of doing this course, by the way, so we're several years into this, and what we see as a trend is that this session gets downloaded or on listen repeat the most because it is so rich, it's so juicy, and it's one of those frameworks that I know myself, when I woke up this morning, I thought, oh, I'm so glad this is what's on deck for today, because it helps me regularly as well come back to the templates and the guidance of how to be more effective, how to be more productive with my time when you're swimming in a sea of distractions and multiple options and so many things we're interested in, right? That bright, shiny objectitis that can exist for all of us is how to be more effective with time, how to be more intentional about it, how to plan it, how to schedule it, how to be more productive with the time that you have. So whether you feel like, gosh, I've got a little time, I've got a lot of time, I never have enough time, wherever you're at with this conversation for yourself and how this is showing up, this is such a rich and juicy session. So welcome back, my loves. I absolutely am in love with this group that's come together. I was sharing that with my team a couple of days ago. I just said, oh, man, I'm loving the group that has come together for this particular session for Success Academy. I love the shares, the heartfelt sharing, the insights, the gems. Our Facebook group is just making me smile on a regular basis. So thank you for showing up there as well. It's been fun. Last week, we talked a lot about vision and around goals and setting intentional goals and habits. That's also likely going to be a session you're going to repeat a few times. It's just coming back to, that's right, the mindset. What am I cultivating? What are the habits? What are the effort-based goals? The big vision, the dreams, the desires, and then the steps I'm taking to help me get there. But I've just loved seeing many of you shared your vision board, whether it's a work in progress, whether it's digital, whether it's, you know, done in by hand and that it's in your physical space. There's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just the power of that intention. So thank you for sharing those dreams and that vision with me and with your group here. I've loved seeing that. And you can share it throughout. I know some of you might say, I'm still working on that. I'm going to share it here in a bit. You can share it as a work in progress. You can wait and share it when it's more complete if you feel better about that. If you're just getting started with that, no biggie, right? Success Academy layers week on week of success principles that help you create a life and a business that you love, that help you create with intention. But I understand sometimes I've been given the feedback, you know, Tiff, we really could do like one session a week. The session each week could really be turned into a month-long topic and work on it for a full month. And I'm like, yes, but then the course triples or quadruples in price because of all the time investment, right? And so I know there's so much rich, meaty, juicy stuff happening. And if at all you start to feel overwhelmed, just take a deep breath. Remember, that's a thought that creates a feeling. It's like, I'm right on time. Everything is right on time. And you're not going to miss out on anything. You'll own this course for a lifetime. You can come back through it as many times as you want. So just take a deep breath if you felt any of those feelings, totally normal, but just realize you're right where you need to be. I just ask, like I said on the very beginning out of the gate week one, is that you make progress, right? I don't ask for you to be perfect with Success Academy, with yourself, with your emotions, with your self-care. I just ask that you're committed, right? And you're saying, I'm making progress. But it's fun to see some of the vision boards and images and what lights you up. Some of the things on some of your vision boards, I thought, ooh, yes, I want to claim that too. So hopefully you're connected to our Facebook group and you're seeing the things being shared there. If you have quotes, comments, suggestions, tips, resources, challenges, anything that you're like, I'd like help with this, or I want to share this, or I listened to this podcast, or I saw this quote, or this made me think of you, by all means, feel free to bring it to that Facebook group. It's a very safe space. It's a private community. Only the people participating in this live session can see your posts, and so they're right in it with you. But if you want to share, please do so. In the interim of our live Q&A sessions, which I'm just loving on Wednesdays, just know that you can utilize that space to ask additional questions or share gems or insights that are showing up for you. But as we round the corner into week three, time and priority management, we're going to be on page 20, most of our time here today in your Success Academy workbook if you want to go there. But one of the things I'm going to ask that you do right out of the gate is if you haven't yet eliminated your distractions, we're going to talk about that today. It's one of the biggest influences to being more productive with your time is to manage or eliminate distractions. Some distractions we can't eliminate, right? But we can manage them or be more intentional about them. Some we can eliminate, but in this moment, I want you to practice giving yourself the ability to receive and to be focused. So if you're currently listening to my voice, but you're also scrolling the Instagram, go ahead and close that app. If your email's on in the backdrop or television or noise of any kind, go ahead and, you know, mute those and close them out. Maybe even put your phone. My phone is on silent 99.9% of the time. I don't even get a buzz. I don't get a, you know, a little ding, whatnot. But often, like right now when I'm in coach mode, my phone is even face down on my desk because I don't even want to see my screen light up, right? Because then it pulls just even a little bit. It'll pull my energy and my focus, even for a nanosecond, right? But it'll pull my focus from being present here with you. And so one of the ways that literally I believe 50%, and I'll go deeper on that in a moment because it's number five on the list, we'll get to that, but just as an essence to seed that right now, I truly believe that 50% of this time management, winning in time management and setting yourself up to thrive with your time, with your schedule, is learning how to manage or eliminate those distractions, right? Because we live in a world today that's full of them, and constant competition for our time and our focus, and we get started on something and then we get locked down a loophole. Right? Have you ever had this happen where you log on to Facebook or to Instagram or LinkedIn with the intention of, oh, I'm going to send a couple of people some messages or follow up to this, and that you have a real clear intention, like, to go reach out to someone on social media? Because it's a great way to connect with people and to create business from social media. Hands down, love it. However, there's times I'll log in, and then I'll see some notifications, and I'll see this, and then I'll see someone's photo in my feed or the link to this or a video with that, and then you're like, oh, my gosh, look how cute those kitties are, or that cute pumpkin spice recipe or whatever. And you're like, what in the heck? 20 minutes goes by, and you get off the app, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even do what I logged on there to do. Now, those are minefields for distraction, right? And they're great for connecting. But we all have that experience of, like, between our email and our cell phone and kiddos and life and calls and the laundry and all the ways that we can get distracted, for sure. I just ask that you choose to practice while we're here in live session or as you're listening to this replay, just allow yourself to receive, right? You may even want to rehearse that. I allow myself to receive. Sometimes you think, oh, I got to multitask all the things. That's not always the most effective way, right? When we're talking about productivity, and I want you to write for me in your notes, my productivity equals my paycheck. You don't get paid to be busy. And sometimes we live in a world that glorifies being busy, don't we? It's like, oh, I'm so busy, 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 busy. Busy doesn't get a badge, my friend, right? Like, we might try to wear a badge that I'm busy or whatnot. Everyone's busy. Busy with what, though, is what matters. Your productivity is what creates your paycheck. How productive are you? And that's a great question to ask yourself is, what am I producing today? What am I producing in this time block, which you'll hear about in just a moment? Right? If you're saying, I'm producing content, I'm producing follow-up, I'm producing home flow and organization, I'm producing more focused or intentional about connection with my sweetheart or with my children, but being really conscious about that for yourself, that's a great discernment question. What am I producing today? What am I producing in this hour and producing in this time block? And not everything is about production, but it means it's got to be work, so to speak. Sometimes it's like, hey, I'm really producing or creating connection with my self-care, with my nourishment, with my meditation, with my relationships. It's just allowing yourself, though, to be intentional with what you're creating. So let's look at this on page 20. It says at the top by Peter Drucker. He's a well-known management consultant, lots of books and trainings over the year. But he says that until we can manage time, we can manage nothing else. And here's one of the key things that I want to touch on right out of the gate is how many times do we use the word balance, right? We're looking for balance. Because when we talk about managing time, we can't actually put like a rope around time. You can't touch it. You can't grasp it. It's not something you can bottle up in a jar. We might wish we could, but that's not really something, right? It's an intangible, although we know that it exists, it's something we can't necessarily get a handle on, so to speak. But I just love looking at this conversation right out of the gate. I'd like you to write down the phrase for me, I have well-nourished priorities versus balance, right? It's saying, oh, I want to be more balanced. Now, I even use the language myself, knowing that true balance doesn't really exist, right? But you can absolutely have well-nourished priorities. Many moons ago when I worked for Stephen Covey and the great work, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and they also had workshops called What Matters Most, and they sold day planners. Do you remember those? Those physical day planners. I worked for them many moons ago, and they did these time management workshops and seven habits of being effective and leadership content, and I absolutely loved it. Well, one of my favorite lessons from Stephen Covey, he would do this as a visual teaching lesson. He used to teach in a well-respected university, and he would do this visual lesson where he'd have a couple of jars, right? He'd have one big jar, and then he'd have a bucket that had some very large rocks, and then he'd have another bucket that had like smaller pebbles, and then he had another bucket that had sand in it. And he used this, you know, that great visual teaching where you can see it, an object lesson. And he would say he'd have this big jar, and he'd put maybe one rock, a big rock in the jar, and then some pebbles and some sand, and then try to sandwich another big rock in and so forth. And it just really was a little bit chaotic. It really didn't work. The only way it all fit in the jar is if the big rocks went in the jar first. So he'd place the large rocks in the jar first, then have the pebbles shift and find and filter in, right, find their little crevices, and then he'd put the sand in over the top. It would just fill into the large jar. And he was teaching the lesson about the power of choosing your priorities. What are your most important priorities, personally, professionally, and being really clear on your big rocks in the jar, and that those key rocks go in the jar first. I love seeing that, and I love that reminder of, like, yes, knowing first and foremost, making some decisions, right, which is number one, we identify our core priorities, personal and business. What are your core priorities for yourself? So go on to page 21 there. You can see at the top it says identify priorities. And under the categories of personal, you have self-time, right? That self-care, the time for reading, meditation, health time for your body, nourishment, good rest, moving your body, personal relationships, right, and time for them. You might also have church or worship or certain charities that really are near and dear to your heart that you're invested in. You know, but there's all kinds of things. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden we can have 27 different priorities in each category, right, where everything's important, if everything's a priority. I remember reading this many years back in a great book that helps you on time management and focus called Essentialism by Greg McKeown. Great book, great read, Essentialism. Put that on your next up list to read for yourself after we're talking through or working through the success principles and the big leap. But one of the things Greg points out in that material is he talks about how the word priority was introduced, which meant the main thing. And Stephen Covey would say, make sure to make the main thing, right? Is that I just love that reminder of how easy it is, right, to get distracted. Well, Greg points out in his book, Essentialism, that often you're in the experience of we turned the word in, you know, the early, I think, 1900s from priority to priorities and made it plural. As if by changing the world, we could changing the word, we could change reality. And you just can't. Is the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. And to use decision-making, which sometimes we don't want to. We want to say, I want to do all the things, all the ways, all the time. And while I love the thinking about everything is possible, it's absolutely true that, yes, everything is possible, but we also have to use our human skills to make decisions that not all things are possible all at the same time. And that there's different seasons to things, right? Some of you, if you have a newborn baby, that's a different season than when you have a 10-year-old, right? And if you have a brand new business, that's a different season than when you have a business that's 6 and 7 and 8 years old and has routine and has, you know, consistency and has certain things to it that you can add and credibility and all of that good stuff behind it. And so it's just knowing that that's right, I need to make some decisions. What are my top priorities personally and in business? If your business is new, your business will always have the priority of sales and marketing, right? There's this phrase that says ABC. And many moons ago, it used to be a cheesy statement in sales, always be closing. And then I heard a great marketer say, no, it actually stands for always be campaigning. And campaigning means you're on sales and marketing all the time. Now, you're not always making an offer, but like social media, you're going to be sharing content or a newsletter list or sharing content, or you might be seeding the lifestyle business that you're in, seeding your coaching, seeding helping people with their real estate transaction, seeding about the hair or the beauty industry that you're in and how you help clients and so forth. But sales and marketing, where you're nourishing relationships regularly and you're nourishing good content, right? You're going to hear about that next week. We talk about content and contacting to create connection. But sales and marketing is always going to be a top priority. And there's business development time. This right now, being in Success Academy, is business development. That rock is in the jar. Where you're saying, I'm not just working in the business, I'm working on the business. I'm working on myself as the vessel. I'm improving me as a human, as a wife, as a husband, as a human, as a mother or father. I'm here improving myself as a business owner, as a creator. I'm improving my mindset. I'm improving my skill set, right? You're in business development here with Success Academy that you say, yes, I'm actively nourishing that priority, right? And then fulfillment time. Like right now, I'm in a fulfillment hour time block. I'm in fulfillment time of something I've already sold and created. I'm in coach mode. That's fulfillment time. Where I'm in coach mode, or I'm in workshop mode, or teacher mode, or podcasting, or things like that, where I'm in fulfillment time and creation of that, right, for yourself, similar. Sometimes that might be shipping. If you have a tangible product, like one of our loves here has this incredible, she'll have to share it in our group, Sandy's got this incredible tool to help you make candy, right? And so as she's packaging and shipping those out, or maybe you have a hair serum or product, or perhaps some of you have, you know, you're with a company that does your shipping for you, but you might have fulfillment time where you're updating orders in your back office and you're, you know, working on getting maybe a new welcome package sent out or a sample package sent out, things like that. But fulfillment time of what you've sold or what you've promised, right? I do love the question at the bottom of page 21, which is a really great discernment question that helps you discerning big rocks in the jar, productive activities versus just being busy. But what activities have the highest return on investment, ROI, right? What has the highest ROI for you? Well, connecting with people, great content, right? Nourishing, hosting classes, presenting, speaking, writing, whatever it may be for you, but becoming really clear on what your highest ROI activities are that you're working on for yourself, personally and professionally. Like you spending time nourishing your body, moving your body is a great ROI activity, right? And that requires, of course, that time and being connected to nourishing that for yourself. But number one is identifying those core priorities, making some of those decisions, and just deciding. And one of the ways I like to use that right now is to look at what you're all in for. Also in Essentialism, Greg makes this great question, because some of you have a hard time, I know I do, making decisions, because you're like, well, I want to do all of it, so I don't want to say no to anything. But again, if you say yes to everything, it's like it gets watered down, and there's no way it's realistic or possible, versus making some decisions. And he poses a really great question in his work where he says, rather than focusing on what do I have to give up in my life or in my schedule or my calendar, ask more so the question, what are you all in for? And my Tiffany Petersonism to that question is, I would say, for this season of your life, what are you all in for? Because things, again, are seasonal, right? I have certain seasons where I'm really on and I'm creating a lot of content and we're making a lot of things happen, right? I'm in that season right now in lifetime. And I'll be here until about mid-late November with a gratitude series, with a mastermind that I'm hosting at a cozy cabin in Deer Valley in November. I posted about it in our Facebook group if you have questions or if that's something you want to explore coming to, a great way to plan your 2022. Private chef, gorgeous cabin. You get nourished on site, and you leave really clear on your next steps. and you connect with some really cool humans. So I have that coming up. I'm in the middle of our course, right? We have podcasts and lots of guests we're recording because we're in season with that too. So it's just a time where I'm really much more invested in creation and facilitation within my work. And then I have seasons like around the holidays in the summer where I don't work hardly at all. And I play a lot. Now, I work still to a minor degree, but I also, this is why I'm self-employed, is I love having seasons I'm really on and seasons I'm really in play and in that space. Yet I'm always nourishing relationships and I'm still doing my self-care practices and I'm sometimes still creating something as it comes to me. But to know what season you're in. So I love to ask that question is, what are you all in for this season? Right? Again, if you have a newborn baby, it's different than having a 10-year-old. And there's different seasons to things. And so you might be in a season where you're like, Tiff, I'm really doing some deep healing, some deep opening and releasing and just taking better care of myself. Man, I got so fried. I really have come home to, right now the core priority is getting my roots well nourished. And you might be in a season where you're like, it's business growth time, honey. I mean, I'm moving, shaking, I'm hosting classes, I'm doing one-on-ones, I'm gathering people. I'm in it for this season. And it may be a season, again, of saying it's not always all or nothing, like, oh, it's all personal or all business. But that you really get clear on your core key priorities. You're going to hear me talk about the choose to on number four here in just a moment. But it's really, really powerful way to set you up. It's liberating, actually. Remember, you don't get a badge for being busy. Everyone's busy. What are you producing? What are you productive? And sometimes, again, what you're producing, that can feel like I got to produce like numbers, sales, and so forth. It can mean that. But it can also mean I'm producing content. I'm writing regularly. I'm moving my body every single day. I'm more nourished in my habits. But I've made that as a choice that's what's a big rock in my jar that's going into my life. But that's number one is first identifying, making some decisions. I know you may have some decision resistance, but you also have decision fatigue. That's why I ask that you just decide you do a morning ritual every day. Not every morning you don't have to decide, do I feel like doing this today? I don't feel like it. I slept well. I didn't sleep well. Oh, it's raining. It's sunny. And then you decide as you just choose is every morning I'm going to start my day with at least a sacred 10 and nourish me. I don't have to re-decide that every morning. It's just decided. And you free up so much energy with not having to go back and forth, what am I doing? You make decisions. What are the core priorities in personal and business? Right? You may decide every day I'm nourishing two or three relationships. And it just happens. It's not something I have to re-decide every day, but I'm nourishing relationships personally and professionally that help me have a thriving life and business. That's number one. I know we've spent a lot of time there. We're just laying the groundwork and the framework, but it really is so, so key. And again, my recommendation is to read or listen to the book Essentialism by Greg McKeown as a great resource here to support you to put that on your next step list for your reading list as well. Number two, let's look at weekly planning, right? Is to take some time to do some weekly planning. Now, it says see mind mapping tool, which you can find on page 22. You just want to flip there. You can see that handy. Okay, page 22, a mind map, if you can see that. I know not all of you may have your workbooks in front of you, but a mind map looks like a spoke or a wheel. There's a center circle, and then you have lines that come off of it. Looks like a sun or looks like a wheel, and it's like the center core. Now, I use this for project planning, too, or like I was with a company that I'm helping them, a company called Nature Sunshine, great supplement company. I was with them for 4 hours for a VIP strategy day on Thursday, and we used a lot of mind mapping. It's great also productivity-wise to map out, and I'm helping them develop a training series for their field, for their training field. Or for their sales field. And we use that tool, right? But I love to use this for weekly planning as well, as it gives you a great framework that right in the center it says, hey, like for me, right in the center of weekly planning, right, you would put the week. And maybe the right-hand side represent your personal priorities. Maybe the left-hand side represent your business. Sometimes what I would do is I'll draw this out, right, especially those of you that really are visual learners or you like to see the map. Maybe one side is personal, right, and represents my self-care, my home stuff. Maybe each child is a spoke, and their different appointments or activities or, you know, time with them or time with your significant other if applicable, right? So you could have one side be personal and one side be business, right? And the business one spoke might be, you know, Success Academy for me. or mentoring for you. And one might be marketing or social media content. One might be working on the gratitude series, and one might be working on the mastermind retreat, right? The various ways that you go, oh, okay, that you help yourself map it out. Now, sometimes I just write it in my planner, and that I will have categories, and then I'm writing out those core, you know, important tasks and activities that need to happen. But taking some time to create that mapping, right? It's so valuable to do that every single week. I often do that for me as Sunday afternoon or evening. It's most often. Now, it doesn't always happen then. And if it's for you, you might say, oh, that's going to happen today after we wrap this call, or I'm going to start doing it right now. I'm working on it in live time. That's just fine. Some people do it on Friday afternoons, right? As they're wrapping their work week, they then do some planning for the following week. But it's just powerful, right? The quote you've probably heard 1,000,008 times in your life, here's 1,000,009, where it says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And while life doesn't always go perfectly to the plan, it sure doesn't. Oh, no. That isn't the point about perfection. But it is about intention. And when I'm invoking the skills to plan and to see forward and to see and to look at and where can things fit and what's most important and what's happening this week really helps me navigate the week feeling much more grounded. So you have this weekly planning that's taking place, right, that helps you give yourself literally like a map to the week. And then from there, number three is we schedule those core priorities into time blocks. So we've identified those core priorities. We're looking at our week at a glance. We're seeing what's already booked, what's already scheduled. And then we open up our calendar and we start scheduling into some time blocks. I love, 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 like with a capital L, love time blocking. I want you to go to page 23 for me in your notes or in your workbook. And at the top it says time blocking. There's a quote there by Brendon Burchard where he says, success is scheduled. Oh, so, so, so very true. But time blocking is another way to look at, some people call this batching, right? Like when they create content or a newsletter, like they create 4 newsletters at once for an entire month, or they create an entire week or entire month of social content, or if you're making follow-up calls, connection calls, to do that all at once. Or for me, often I will do some coaching sessions, a few back-to-back-to-back. Because when I'm in coach mode, I want to stay in coach mode. In my early days, I didn't know that, though, and I would have a coaching session here and one over here and one there, and it was like I'd get in coach mode, and then I'd be in marketing mode, and then I'd, you know, oh, check my Facebook, and then I would go, you know, oh, I'll empty the dishwasher. Wait, now I'm going to get back into this, and it just felt so disjointed. Now, my life doesn't work perfectly to a schedule. That's not real. But, man, I'm so much more, again, what? Productive when I'm time blocking. So time blocking, again, is we identify those core priorities, and then we look at our schedule and we block sections of time. Now, you may look at a time block from anywhere from 45 minutes, for instance, to, say, 2 hours, and then you take a break. I know Darren Hardy, in a lot of his work, he talks about identifying your MVPs, most valuable priorities, is what he calls those. Cute little play on words, right? MVPs, most valuable priorities, is he talks about doing time blocks for himself of creation and really getting focused for 45 minutes to 90 minutes and to create this place where you just get in there and you create. Create, create, create. And then you're like, cool, I'm done. But you eliminate the distractions, you get in there, you create it, and you stay focused, right? Versus trying to multitask where you're working on something, but you're checking this, and you're on a phone call, but you're kind of doing this, and you're distracted. Versus, again, you go in and you time block. But I've created a lot of video content, podcasts, you know, social content, where you just put some things into a time block, right? And you can see there's some suggestions there. There's also a video in your assignment email that will come out. It's an older video, right? It was recorded a long time ago. However, the content is still first class. And so even though my fashion and style has probably changed, you're like, Tiff looks different now. It's like, yes, because these were recorded a long time ago. Like maybe 10 years ago, love. But the content is still, that feels really weird to say 10 years ago. Okay. But the content is still awesome. But you see me map out for you a visual representation of some time blocking, right? So you may even look at it, this has a theme to a day that you might say, hey, well, Mondays and Wednesdays are marketing days. Tuesdays and Thursdays are fulfillment, where I'm coaching, I'm mentoring, I'm shipping, I'm packaging. Fridays is business development time, right? Now, you may want to do half days, where you may say, cool, my mornings, I'm doing this. my afternoons is when I'm doing this. For those of you building a side hustle, this is really important that you know and that you decide, is again, it's not about the quantity of time, but quality and consistency. So you might say, hey, Tuesday and Thursday nights is when I really work on my business those evenings, my side hustle. My family's on board. They know they have me, my full attention, Monday and Wednesday evenings. And on Friday night, we do pizza night and family night and this kind of thing. But you know what I'm saying is you get really intentional with your calendar and where does it live? Because you absolutely can grow a side hustle to a full-time gig if you have consistent time blocks. Do you need a bazillion of them? No, but consistency wins the game with this. So time blocking for yourself. I want you to try this out this week, and I want you to decide a couple of key priorities, like, for instance, nourishing your network. And you go, where is that going to live? But I'm going to take an hour and maybe write out 3 or 4 handwritten notes. I'm going to schedule 2 coffee dates up and coming later in the month to meet up with people and connect. Or I'm going to work on this one thing. You know what I'm saying? Or when you're creating content. But practice time blocking. Try it out. Is getting in the flow. Is I find that sometimes the hardest part is getting in the flow. Sometimes like going to the gym, the hardest part is getting there. But once you're there, it's like, oh, I'm in the flow. I'm in the zone. And I'm going to keep staying with that and making that happen. But weekly planning, schedule into time blocks, right? And let those be a great resource for you to help you be more intentional about your calendar, right? More intentional about your time. Number 4 is talking about utilizing daily planning tools to manage, right? Is that you check in. I love to look at night before planning, right? The night before, meaning you're looking at the end of the day, here's what went well, here's what can improve. Let's do some planning for the next day. And this is where I want you to practice choosing two, the pick two priorities and the choose two process. That's such a game changer. I know it sounds so simple, but I have client after client just rave about this. But you pick two. That's it. Not 22, not 7, 2. But your top two priorities for the next day. Or if you like to do your planning in the first thing in the morning, but your daily planning where we're just touching back to the map, we're looking at the schedule, we might have our planner out, you might use one online, you might use a physical copy planner, whatever works for you, but you're checking in and saying you have choosing two. Now, I like to do these night before, right? And I say, okay, my top two priorities for the next day, top two priority, you know, for Monday is personal, is that I'm going to get moving, move my body, make that deposit, and business is my top priority, is we have our gratitude graphics ready to go. And that is cinched up and figured out, right? For instance. And so then you go, cool, then I know I'm doing this thing and this thing and this thing and getting that ready to send to the designer. Whatever your top two priorities are, it doesn't mean we ignore the other things on the list. But these are your big rocks in the jar. They have a high ROI or something. Either you're like, I really need to get this done, and or it can have a really significant influence. Like you might say, for some of you writing a book, you might say, choose two is I'm going to move my body and I'm going to spend an hour writing for my business. Those are my top two. I'm going to get those done ideally first and early, right? Ideally before noon, your top two priorities have been completed. Doesn't always work that way, but that's the ideal. And you go, cool, they're done. And then that way the rest of the day and you're working on other stuff and you know, you just get that momentum going where you're like, I've got that win under my belt. I moved my body, or I did my self-care habits. I, you know, got moving on this one project, or I nourished 10 relationships before noon. That's my top business priority, where I can reach out and invite people to my upcoming event or nourish them, check in on them. I'm just doing some follow-up, right? Is that you go, oh, okay, my top two priorities. We decide what they are ideally the night before, but definitely by morning of, and you move forward with them. Now, some of my clients use 3x5 cards for this. They'll literally write down their top two priorities and put it on their nightstand on a 3x5 card, or they put it over their cell phone that just reminds them, this is our focus, sweetheart, or a post-it note, put it right on the top of your phone, right? Or right on a bathroom mirror or something that you'll see, or your desktop, where you're like, that's right, these are I'm focused. Because you're going to have a bazillion distractions that try to show up and pull you off course, right, for every single one of us. And then based on, again, how well we slept and our mindset and our mood and what's going on and our emotional state will influence that. But if we're choosing to, that's why, again, it's like, okay, man, I can't get 20 things done today, but I can sure get 2 things done. And then you put those drops in the bucket and you move yourself and your momentum forward. So that's number 4 is utilizing some daily planning tools to help you, again, make progress, which is how we win the game. We are absolutely minded around progress of what we want to create and what we're focused on. This is so good and so juicy. Now, again, I'm not going to ask that you live it perfectly. I don't live it perfectly. That's why literally this morning when I woke up, oh, I'm so glad it's week three, because I need this reminder myself. Coming back into this content is tightening it up and refocusing and being clear on the priorities, making those decisions, weekly planning, getting into daily planning to manage and time blocking. Man, it's like, oh, I get so much more done. I'm so much more productive, and I enjoy the process more when I'm productive than when I'm just scattered and distracted and trying to pick up 27 sticks at once. For some reason, the number 27 just keeps wanting to pop up. But if you notice, it's like on a desktop or a laptop, when you have multiple tabs open, you slow your whole system down. Well, you're the same way. And sometimes we have multiple tabs open in our brain, in our thoughts, in our time, in our focus, and we actually slow the whole system down versus making a handful of choices, making those decisions, choosing what am I all in for today, for this week, for this month, for this season, what I'm all in for today, and what a difference that decision-making can help us in navigating what we're up to. Number five, we touched on this out of the gate, but number five is so key, is to eliminate or manage distractions, right, to increase productivity. Would you write the word manage distractions in there? Because the reality is it says eliminate distractions. Yes, some things you can eliminate, but some things you don't eliminate. You have to manage them, like your cell phone and your technology. You're not going to throw your cell phone away. I mean, you could. That is a choice, right? And many of you are not going to choose to delete your social media apps because they're great platforms for free advertising and free connecting. And there's a lot of good there. But, man, they can sure be distractions, can't they? So we really need to learn to manage them, or your email. We're not going to eliminate it, but we want to manage it. Can we talk about email and social media? Those are great things to time block. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? I remember years ago, Brendan Burchard, I was at one of his gatherings or events, and he talked about he checks his email twice a day. That's it, like at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. in the afternoon. He doesn't have his email up all damn day in the backdrop to just ding you and buzz you and distract you. It's just constantly like you're in a circus, ding, 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 ding. Look over here, look over here. He checks it twice a day, and I thought, man, that's brilliant. And sometimes I live that, sometimes I don't. But when I live it, man, so much better. I'm so much more effective, too, in my follow-through and follow-up. But to check it twice a day rather than doing it all day, every day, right? You don't need that email up all day, every day. I promise if someone's house is burning down, they are not sending you an email, right? Consider that. That is not how it's going to happen. But that, yes, you want to check it. You want to be tuned into it. Now, I mean, email is the same for direct messages or messenger, right? Because those are forms of email. Another great tip is to only check those things when you can actually reply. Because sometimes you're on the go and you're at, a stoplight, and heaven forbid, and I'm calling myself out on this, heaven forbid I actually sit through a stoplight without checking my email messenger, right, or Facebook messenger or Instagram DMs. You only check email, and that includes, again, DMs or messenger, when you can actually reply. Another great productivity tip. But same thing, again, with social media. Yes, I love social, and social is a phenomenal way. It's put so much connection in my life and richness, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, it's like, oh man, just all kinds of ways, from personal and business, I'm so thankful for it. But if I don't have a leash on it, it can absolutely be a time drain. And no longer, it's not about, it's good, but I want to have that with intentional boundaries. So maybe similar to email, maybe at 10, from 10 to 11, you check email and social. And you do it again at 4, or maybe for you at 7 p.m. or after the kids are in bed at 8 o'clock. But that you give yourself boundaries on it. Now, here's something else I'm going to say to you. If you are my private client, this isn't a negotiable thing. So I'm going to ask, if you don't have to pay me lots more money for this tip, but I'm going to ask that you go into your settings and turn off all forms of notifications from social media. Now, if you just got a pit in your stomach or gasped a little or felt resistance, you definitely need to do it because you're addicted. You're like, how does she know me so well? But again, you don't need to be buzzed and dinged to your cell phone every time someone likes your Instagram post or sends you a messenger. Right? Again, you're like, well, Tiff, my business heavily social. I hear you. But again, I promise two, maybe at most three times a day is plenty to check in there. Right? You're not going to miss out on an opportunity because you didn't respond in 3 seconds. Right? That's very reactive living, love. That's not king or queen living. That's reactive versus proactive. Now, I'm not saying it in a place to judge. You can keep doing all these behaviors. I'm just saying if you've chosen to say, I want to be more productive, I want to get more done, I want more money, more success, more influence, I want to grow, then you have to be intentional with your schedule and your time. Perfect with it? Heck no. But having some core time blocks? Yes. We're just talking about some daily habits to manage. Email and social media. What if you time block those? And you know this is when I check them. And that might change each day too because you're like, well, like for me, my schedule changes sometimes daily. Well, this day I'm with a client. I've been booked for this speaking engagement. Or this thing is here. Or that thing is here. Or the flexibility of my own calendar. Hey, I'm taking Friday off and going out of town. Cool. Sweet. You know, it's like, well, I might adjust when that happens. You can choose that. That's why you do night before planning is you decide, oh, tomorrow's a little different day. Here's the dynamics. We have this school program for this kid. And I've got this meeting with this doctor. Okay, cool. I'm going to adjust that instead of doing that when I normally do it at 8 a.m., I'm going to do it at 11. But you have more intentional creation to that. So, again, eliminate or manage distractions to increase your productivity. Sometimes when I get in content creation mode, my phone's in a totally different room of the house. I don't even want to be able to touch it, right? That smartphone that wants to tempt me all the time. I can then just put on music, light a candle, diffuse some oils, have some healthy snacks. I really create space to increase my productivity where it's like we are getting into this. Now, a question that I have for you is to ask yourself currently, for some of you, you're smartphone or technology, your email, your social isn't your biggest distraction. For some of you, it is. But ask yourself that question. What's my biggest distraction? Another great question is, what do I need to let go of in my life? Right? What do I need to let go of in my life or in my calendar or in my inbox? Some of you need to unsubscribe. Some of you need to clean up your social list, and there's some unfollows you might need to do. Maybe not. But what do you need to let go of? What maybe not be, what might be holding you back? We're going to talk about organization here in just a moment. It's one of my favorite things that we tuck in on week three is we're talking about time flow for much of this session. And we're going to talk about physical space flow, too, and that you deserve to live and work in space that nourishes you and inspires you. And we're going to talk about cleaning up, letting go and moving it on, but I'm wanting you to look at this for your calendar too. But there may be some things you're part of that you're like, that doesn't really serve me anymore in present time. And I need to look at that. I need to let that go. Number six is delegation. Asking for help or asking for support, right, is another powerful way we become so much more effective with our time and priority management, right? A lot of times, again, we're talking about time management. Priority management is really, because I don't think we really, quote, manage time, but again, we can be intentional to have well-nourished priorities, priority management. And as you've heard me talk about before, week one, we laid the groundwork that everything is energy and energy is everything, is also we want to be conscious of that energy management, right? It's what we're after is time. What we're after in the time, though, truly isn't, we're after the energy. And to be mindful and that delegating and distraction management can really help you with increasing your odds of greater energy, right, is looking at these things for yourself. I love, love, love this conversation. And I'm just asking that you practice these habits this week and begin them. Is if you haven't done some weekly planning yet for the week, no biggie. I want you to do it today and try out mapping out and looking at your week. And then I want you to practice choosing those priorities and looking, putting them into, as you're planning them out, putting them into some scheduled time blocks. And seeing where some open time that this could happen. I could work on this book. I could work on my side hustle. I can work on this coaching homework, right? And then I want you to look at that daily night before planning, but just tapping into choosing to, right? Again, you might use a post-it note, a 3x5 card that you help put in your space and that you decide your two priorities, top two priorities, one personal and one for business, that you're working on for the next day. Or the day ahead. Number five, we're going to eliminate or manage those distractions. We're going to practice perhaps time blocking our email our social media. We're going to turn off those notifications in our settings so that we don't need to be buzzed or distracted every time something's happening on a social media app, right? We may even want to choose to say, okay, I'm going to check somewhere. You could even put text in this category. Text for me sometimes can become like email, where there's a lot, because, you know, a lot of us prefer texting. I love texting. I'm grateful for it. But sometimes similar, it's like if I'm constantly checking my text or I'm letting my phone buzz me or ding me about that, and I'm trying to write some good content or prepare my slides for an upcoming speaking engagement, you know, it's a real distraction. And so at times I may even want to mute my phone to entire silence. That is how it is for me 99% of the time, is I don't get any buzz, I don't get any ding. If I'm expecting a call, I'm meeting up with friends or something like that, I will definitely turn my buzzer or my noise, you know, I'll flip my volume on, and so I can be alerted, but that's more definitely the rare than the norm for me, right? And so it's having some of those tools. Of course, then delegating, you might enroll your kids to help you with packaging, or you might hire out some basic tasks. You might bring in home support. Some of you are ready for that, right? Where you have someone that helps with the cleaning of your home or meal prep, or they help you with the shipping and they come in and do a couple of errands for you each week, or more full-time employment if you have the need and support for that. But delegation and support will definitely help support you with creating that. So let's transition into physical space. This is one of my very favorite things to look at and to talk about together too. Is I love, 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 and I'm a big believer of your environment. Like I mentioned on week one, we talk about there's three core things influencing your success: your mindset, your habits, and your environment. Environment can be the people you hang out with, how they influence you, right? To things you read or listen to the places that you visit or you shop at, your own home and workspace. These environments, though, they definitely have influence. And so what I want to look at is your physical space is to set you up to thrive here. I love, 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 love this. So on a blank sheet of paper, you'll need to grab that. You can find that at the back of your Success Academy workbook. There's some note paper there. Or if you've got a journal or a workbook. But go to a blank sheet of paper. And at the top of that piece of paper, I want you to write this beautiful question down. And the question is, does this inspire me or expire me? Does this inspire me or expire me? Great discernment question. I use that a lot for decision-making of all kinds, from foods to eat to clothes in my closet to projects or things I'm invited to participate in. It's asking myself, does this inspire me or expire me? I'm dropping into that. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at mostly home and just overall different rooms in the home and space. Now, all we're doing is taking inventory. We're just observing, and you just tune into your own gut. There's no right or wrong, but as I walk you through an area or a section or a category, you'll write down the name or the category, and then next to it, you'll write inspire or expire, or you could write a plus sign or a negative sign, a smiley face, a frowny face, you name it. You can create your own way, but you're going to just take a pulse to each of these areas, and then as a group, we're all going to commit to cleaning up at least one space in our lives to free up that energy, right? But everything, as you've heard me already say today, everything is energy. And your space has an energy. Where you live, where you work, the car that you're driving, right? And the condition of that, whether you're driving your dream car or not, I'm asking you to look at maybe inside that car right now, whether it's your dream car or not, maybe you're like, ooh, it needs to be cleaned out. There's some stuff in there, some half-empty water bottles or some snacks from the kiddos, or I've got some clothes or some items in there or whatever it might be that you might say, gosh, I need to clean out my car. For some of you, it might be your closet or your pantry or your email inbox. But we're all going to commit to one space that we're going to work on with intention to help us clean out the space. Now, I love, love, love this. And in the Success Principles, you'll read about this week in Principle 28 about cleaning up and clearing out. And Jack talks about here some really important principles around energy and around clutter, right? The energy of that. And he talks about that if we want to manifest anything new in our life, we must make room for it. Oh, that's so good. Write that down for me in your notes. If you want to manifest anything new into your life, you simply must make room for it.
Is there space for this desire and this goal to enter? Right? But if you have a full garage, it's hard to have the dream car come home, so to speak. And that's literal and symbolically. For some of you, what you need to clean out is some forgiveness of maybe yourself or someone else. Maybe you've been holding a really good grudge. And I don't say that with judgment. It's just awareness that it's like, yeah, I might need to clean that out. Because this principle applies physically as well as psychologically, is that you might need to clean up some of the space that you're in, right? And what you're creating with that, both between your ears as well as your physical space. But you deserve to live and work in space that you love, my friends. Absolutely. I remember many years ago, I had this awareness. I had this awareness that, you know, I've stayed at all kinds of hotel properties, from pretty basic to really high-end. And I remember this thought, and think through this analogy yourself. If you checked into a hotel today, and whether you're checking into a Holiday Inn or a Marriott or a Four Seasons, or Ritz-Carlton property, whatever that might be, if you checked into a hotel today and the bed wasn't made and there was a stack of, you know, some old newspapers and dirty towels on the floor of the bathroom, would you ever pay for that? Of course not. Absolutely not. You'd be down to the front desk in a hot minute, right? Or calling them on the phone like, hey, this room hasn't been cleaned. This room hasn't been made up. You're like, I'm not paying $100 a night or $500 a night or $1,000 a night or wherever you're staying. But you just never, no matter the amount you're paying, you just wouldn't allow that. Well, I had this awareness for myself years back that my home is my Four Seasons hotel. Even if you own your home outright, you technically, from utilities and property taxes, whether you're renting an apartment or living in your dream home or somewhere in between, the truth of the matter is we pay to live in these places. Now, we don't always think of it that way because we may make a once-a-month rent payment or mortgage payment or once-a-year property taxes or things like that. But the truth of the matter, it's like you deserve to live and work in space that inspires you, that sets you up to win. And even if you're, again, you're not living in your dream home and that's on your vision board, awesome. I still want you to live in space that's like, yeah, this feels good. It's clean. There's flow. It inspires me. But you deserve that. So again, we're not going to maybe rehaul the whole house. No. Or rehaul the whole garage. But we might choose that we're going to do at least 1 hour this week to clean out, clean up, or beautify a space. Now, some of you might say, my home is really well organized. So maybe for you, it's more about, I want to bring a new plant into my space, and I'm going to go pick that out. Or a new painting. Or I really like this new piece of artwork or something like that that can help you say, gosh, I really want to improve or raise the vibe of the space that I'm in. So let's go through again. We're just going to do a little bit of pulse taking to the spaces that you're in. One of the powerful things talked about in Principle 28 is Jack's talking about a friend of his named Martin Root in that chapter. He said Martin was really clear that every time he wanted to attract new business into his life, he simply cleaned out his garage, cleaned off his desk, right? Cleaned out or hemmed up clothing or donated clothing that was no longer going to be worn. He cleaned out his space, and new business would start showing up. There's something to that, right? Because everything's energy. It's like, ooh, if I've got clutter showing up in my life in different ways, emotionally or physically, it blocks the flow. But again, it's not about perfect flow, but as conscious creators, we might clean out a sock drawer this week to redoing the bedroom, to the closet, to cleaning out the car. You get to pick. So let's look at some of these areas. Again, you're just going to take a note to you. Does it currently inspire you or expire you? As you drive up to the home you're currently living in, the abode that you're in, an apartment, townhome, home, however you phrase that, look at that for yourself, but it's your home right now where you're living. As you drive up to this space, overall, does this space, so you just write home overall in your note, home overall, does it inspire me or expire me? Okay. Home overall, does it inspire you or expire you? As you come through the door, and you might have an entryway and however your home is shaped, but as you come through the door, that immediate initial space, does it inspire you? So you might say entryway here. Does it inspire you or expire you?
your living room space? Does it inspire you or expire you? So again, you're going to write down living room, plus sign or negative sign, or inspire, expire next to it. Does it currently inspire you or expire you? Your kitchen. Does your kitchen space currently inspire you or expire you? Now, for example, you might love your kitchen when it's clean, and it might right now, you might love that space, but it's currently way out of order. It needs some support. And you're saying, yeah, I love this space, but it needs attention, right? But does it inspire you and expire or expire you? We just want where it's currently at for you. We're not saying we don't love the space. We're just saying current condition, does it inspire me or expire me? Your bedroom, where you sleep, does the space inspire you or expire you? The bathroom that you get ready in, does that bathroom space inspire you or expire you? Your closet space, and some of you may also want to write dresser, maybe both, but closet space, does it currently inspire you or expire you? I know for me right now, because I live in a season, I live in a space, I live in Utah, where we have very distinct seasons. So I literally have like a spring, summer wardrobe. Some things in my wardrobe stay all year round, right? Jeans, certain t-shirts, sweatshirts, things like that, certain blouses and tops. But I definitely have some clothing that is very spring and summer. And I have now moved that out of my closet because we're now into fall, and we have fall and autumn in there with the main staples now. And so it might for you, but it's, I literally just did this where I was transitioning my closet probably a week, 2 weeks ago, and had a small pile of some things that are going to go to Goodwill, right? Or, you know, a donation place that is still nice clothing and shoes. But I'm honest, if I do that six-month clean-out, I'm not wearing this. This just doesn't really inspire me anymore. And time for it to move on to a new home. Cleaning out your closet is a powerful thing, isn't it? One thing years ago, I worked with an organization coach. She's been on lots of cable TV shows. I mean, we're talking years ago. Probably 15 years ago or so, before I was self-employed and moved on my own, I'd signed her up for a Rich Dad coaching program. And we really had a fun connection. She lived out of L.A. And I hired her to coach me by phone. And we did 4 to 6 sessions. And she really just helped me get my space into alignment. So she's done lots of those television shows where they go in and, like, remake over a whole space and things like that. But I remember one thing she said to me that I want to pass along to you. Where she said, Tiff, everything in your closet or dresser needs to feel like a 10. You are a 10. What you put on your body needs to feel like a 10. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is high design or, you know, high-end design, hot couture. I have some of that in my closet. But I have plenty of, you know, I love, you know, cute T-shirts from Target and clothes from, you know, Target, Old Navy, up to, you know, high-end brands. And everything in between, a whole lot, right? There's a mix there. But for me, a lot of it is, ooh, does this bring me joy? What's the vibe? What's the energy? But she said, when you hold on to things, Jack says this also in his work, when you hold on to things you no longer use, taking up space, or if it doesn't inspire you. But she said, I want you to clean out your closet. She said, even your gym clothes, your sleeping clothes. And if you don't absolutely love it, get rid of it. Now, some of you might say, gosh, I wouldn't have much left in my closet. But you know what, love? Wouldn't that be better if things you just love? So it also make note of this as well. Some of you are holding on to stuff that no longer fits you. It's either too small or too big. Either side of the spectrum. It's too small, it's too big. Now, if it inspires you to see that pair of jeans that you're like, I'm working out and I'm going to get back into those jeans, and that inspires you, awesome. But if every time you look at those jeans, you feel, or if, let's say, you've lost some weight and you're holding on to clothes, well, I might put it back on. I'm going to hold on to this clothing just in case. Hell no. Get rid of it. You'll attract the new. I want you to clean that stuff out. If it doesn't currently make you feel like a king or a queen, get rid of it. Now, I get some things are really seasonal or really special occasion, like a, you know, a really fancy gown or a tuxedo, and you're not wearing it all the time. It's very, you know, more special occasion, of course. But go through those closets, shoes, belts, accessories,
right? Bags, clothing, you sleep in it, you work out in it. If I want you to absolutely be dressed in clothing that feels really good to you. You also may want to decide, you might have a blouse, for instance, that's missing a button, and you keep thinking every time you look at that blouse, oh, I need to fix that. Make a decision, either donate it, fix it yourself, or delegate someone else to fix it. So let's get some of those things handled. I'm going deep on closet, but man, this could be applicable to any of these areas in your life. But it's to be conscious of that and make those decisions, right? As you go through that closet and you go, okay, does this inspire me or expire me? Do I love this? And if you're like, well, it's just okay. And I don't know about you, but I was really raised, my parents, right, my dad especially, my dad's very resourceful, right? We're going to use it all up until we possibly can. And his parents, again, living through the Great Depression, and my grandparents, and I really respect that too. It's not being flippant with things. But I also think for me, I'm more so, it's like, gosh, you have to keep it because it's not worn out. And I guess you should wear those tennis shoes again, even though you're like, I don't like those anymore. These are so old, or they don't inspire me. For me, I'm just saying what works best for me. Energy makes my decisions, from people to books to menus to places to music. It's how does it, what's the energy? What's the vibe into my closet? And so even if something's still in great condition, you know what? I'm thrilled to give it to someone else that's going to love it. If I'm not loving it, I'm not wearing it, it's hardly ever getting used. Now, plenty of times I'm wearing, you know, a white T-shirt and jeans, real casual, but really from really basic to whatever. But I want that white T-shirt to fit great, right? If you're holding on to stuff, it's got a little hole in it. Well, again, fix it or donate it. Get rid of it. Kind of a thing. And some of you might really need to go through your sock drawer and just make peace that some of those other socks are never coming back, friends. Some of those long lost mates, you know, it's like, I don't know where hair ties and socks go, but they're having a big party somewhere together. It's like, how many times do I need to buy hair ties, you know, elastics? It's like, where do they go? My elastics and my, you know, some of my one-off socks, they are just having a serious party together. Maybe you can relate, but maybe it's time to let them go. Okay. We've looked at closet. Right? Any other spaces, if you have a den, again, does it inspire you, expire you? Inspire, expire you? Your dining room. Your landscape. Garage. The interior of your car. Your inbox. Go ahead and write down these other spaces and do the same thing. Take a poll. Does it inspire you or expire you? Does it inspire you, expire you? Does it lift you up or bring you down? Again, you, my friend, deserve to live and work in space you love. Do you know that, I'm curious, have you felt this? Like when you have an organized office space or a bedroom that just feels like a sanctuary where you love your bed and it's cleaned out and the space invites you. Man, don't you rest better? And when your office space is just more organized, don't you work better? I know I do because, again, the vibe is different. Well, you create the vibe. So what do you need to let go of? Let's clean it out. Let's let go of the clutter. What do you need to work on or bring into alignment? Maybe it's not about the clutter. It's just, gosh, it needs to come into alignment. All I ask you, pick one space. We'll start this thread in our Facebook group, too. If you want to take before and after pictures and show us, awesome. Love that. If you want to show us an after picture or whatnot. But allow yourself to create with intention space that sort of sets you up to win, that environment. So this week, as we're looking at, we're more intentional with our time and the organization there, and then we're more intentional with our space and the organization and the flow that's living there as well. So we want to choose into that with intention for ourselves. I love this week's content. I love what's here for you. If I can serve or support you with anything at all related to it or other things, by all means, please bring it to our Facebook group. We'll also be back on live this Wednesday for our Q&A coaching session. Bring any of your questions there. If you're not able to attend live, I know some of you are working during that time, you have appointments, but you have a question, by all means, feel free to drop it in our Facebook group. Just make sure you tag me to it at least 2 hours before we go live on Wednesday, and I'll be happy to weave it into and address it live in our live session. But enjoy working on these assignments of planning out your week and night before planning and choosing to and picking a space you're going to work on. I'm going to be right alongside with you working on a space, helping clean it out. I'm going to do my car, inside of my car. I just got home from a road trip, so it could use it, if you know what I mean, post-road trips and snacks and bringing some things in, getting it settled. May take on another space or two, but all I'm asking is you at least pick one. that you work on bringing into alignment for yourself. I'm wishing you an incredible beginning of your new week. If I can serve or support you with anything else, by all means, feel free to let me know. I'll be happy to do so. Have a great rest of your Monday, loves. We'll be in touch real soon.